Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. This has been a great week of lessons, and on today's program, Tom Murray will continue answering the question, what kind of Messiah did the Old Testament reveal? Join us now as Tom goes back to the original writings and reveals the truth.
In our last broadcast, I was about to read to you from Isaiah 52, the first three verses, 13, 14, and 15. Behold, my servant shall deal wisely. He shall be exalted and lifted up, and shall be very high. Like as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they understand. Now this falls under the first of those five section titles, and we're using the very beginning sentence of each of those five sections as our titles. Behold, my servant shall deal wisely. Now the emphasis in verse 13 is the exaltation, the exalting of the Messiah, and it speaks here about his ascension to heaven and the fact that he is sitting down at the right hand of God the Father. His exaltation speaks of his resurrection, that is, being lifted up, and that describes his ascension, that being lifted up back into heaven, and very high refers to his present session, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So the summary of this particular passage is that the servant is going to act wisely, and his actions are going to gain him a position of glory with the Father. Then in verse 14, we find that prior to the servant's exaltation, that as Messiah, he's going to suffer humiliation. It says that his body was so badly disfigured that he no longer resembled a man. By the time Jesus was taken to the cross, we're told that he had no visage, that is, his face looked like hamburger meat, and he had no visage, meaning he had no appearance of a man with a face. In the sufferings that Jesus went through, particularly his scourging with the cat of nine tails and the 40 lashes, they would have lashed him from the front to the back of his body, including his face. And this whip had glass and metal and bone weaved into it, and it consisted of nine strands called the cat of nine tails. And it literally lifted the flesh right off of the bones of a person, not only from the back, but also by wrapping around all parts of the body, including the face. Now, there were many people who were never crucified because they didn't survive the scourging that Jesus survived. But by the end of his scourging, when Pilate said, "Behold the man," Jesus was so disfigured that he was hardly recognizable as a man. So what we learn from this verse is the servant will suffer and he will be terribly disfigured in that suffering. But despite the appalling suffering that verse 14 brings out, in verse 15 we're told Messiah is destined for eventual success and sure victory. And those who once mocked him will soon be silenced by him. That is, a day will come when their mouths will be closed in awe at him. So what we learn is that the servant or the Messiah's suffering will eventually gain the silent attention of the whole world with all of its rulers, when they begin to understand the purpose of his sufferings at his first coming. Now, with that as an overview, these first three verses, then we can begin in chapter 53 to actually elaborate on all these various facets. So our second section has the title of the first line of that verses, that is verses 1 through 3 of chapter 53, Who Has Believed Our Message? Let me read those verses in 53, 1 to 3 for you. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of Jehovah been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now the emphasis beginning in verse 1 of chapter 53 is on the unbelief of Israel at his first coming. Israel did not believe this messenger from God. They did not believe his message that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. Now Isaiah, besides referring to the Messiah as the servant of Jehovah, he also refers to the Messiah as the arm of Jehovah, and he does that in this passage, verses 1 to 3. Earlier in the book of Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 10, Isaiah declared that the arm will redeem. In 52:10, he said, the arm will provide salvation. And now in 53:1, Isaiah reveals the identity of the arm, and it is the same as the servant of Jehovah, that is, it is the Messiah. So Israel expresses surprise at what was just stated in Isaiah 52:13-15. Now some of the reasons for Israel's disbelief are given in verse 2 of chapter 53. There was nothing about the first coming of the Messiah which seemed unusual. He was born in normal, well, rather poor circumstances, and this is a reaffirmation of what we learned in Isaiah 11:1. Furthermore, this verse tells us that there was nothing in the Messiah's outward appearance to draw men to him. Now this militates against the portraits that you and I often see where artists have tried to portray Jesus. And they portray him as this wonderful looking man who almost has a bronze tan and this very lovely face and disposition. But Jesus was a Jewish man, not English, like most of our portraits portray him, that was done during the Renaissance and the post-Renaissance by some of the artists in Europe. Jesus was a Jewish man, and he would have had a Jewish beard. You don't see that in any of the Renaissance portraits. And he had dark eyes, not the kind of eyes of Western Caucasians, and he, being Jewish, he was probably not very tall. Most Jews seldom reach 6 feet. Most of them, in fact, are between 5'5 and 5'8. Now, according to this verse, he was not particularly good-looking, is what this verse says. So Israel now confesses that when the servant was with them, they did not notice anything special about his outward appearance that would have attracted them to him. His childhood years and his growth to adulthood were no different than that of other Jewish males during that time in Jewish history. Then in verse 3 of Isaiah 53, we learn that his whole life was characterized by rejection and by suffering. Men turned away from him, and at no time was he accorded the respect that was due to him as royalty. He was of the line of David, and he was in fact the king of Israel and the very Messiah. So on the contrary to what you would expect from Israel, He was despised and rejected, and people in general did their best to avoid him. We are told in the New Testament Gospels that none of his half-brothers and sisters ever believed in his claims until after he rose from the dead. I don't know how they could have grown up with him in Nazareth for all those years that he was there up into his 30s and not have realized that that half-brother never sinned. He never told a lie. He was never selfish. He never gossiped. He never sinned. How could you live with a person growing up in that household? And I wondered many times if Mary or Joseph ever told the other children about his conception, about his birth, about what the angel had said to Joseph and to Mary. I've just always been puzzled and amazed that his half-brothers and sisters, while his mother and stepfather were believers in who he was, the brother, half-brothers and half-sisters never came to believe in him until after the resurrection. Then that brings us to the third section, which is in chapter 53, verses 4 to 6, where it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Let me read those verses, verses 4 to 6. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, it's clear here, and as we're going to put on the proof in later broadcasts, it is impossible for these passages to be referring to the nation of Israel. Because in this passage, the nation of Israel is the beneficiary of what this person does. He bore our condemnation. He is, by his stripes, we are healed. You can't make Israel the one who is suffering and the beneficiary of the suffering. But we'll have to cover that in future broadcasts. I hope you're enjoying this series as much as I have in teaching it. And I'll look for you in our next broadcast. Visit us on our website at www.milktomeat.org. See you next time.
Thanks, Tom. And friend, we want to thank you for joining us today and hope that this series is giving you a better understanding of what the Old Testament says about the Messiah and will help you share Christ with your friends. Well, I'd like to remind you to visit our new website at www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for our free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. If you have any questions or want to order a tape of the program, call us at 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. And we'll see you next time right here for The Lay Disciple.